Dan dialing in another twat, and today I'm going to talk about Linux file system hierarchy and partitioning tips. The Linux file system hierarchy is pretty much standard with other flavors of Unix, including BSD, Solaris. There are some subtle differences, so I'm going to specifically speak about the Linux system file system hierarchy, and you could take it from there. Now, everything off of Linux, or even Unix, is off the root partition. Inside the root, the bulldog partition, one of the first directories you're going to find is your boot directory. The boot directory contains your bootloader files, your kernels, etc. You'll find in Linux the system map is typically in there, and possibly the config file for your current kernel's configuration, which can be handy if you ever want to recompile your kernel and want the exact same configuration. You'll find your grub menu list in there, which is what you'd edit to configure grub at boot time to add some more kernels or test kernels or whatever you'd like to try. Another directory is your etsy directory, which contains your system configuration files specifically for your current host, that machine right there. In the Linux world, you will also find your runtime configuration files, which determine what processes are executed at boot. After the kernel loads in, it pulls up a file, looks for init tab, and based upon init tab, it'll execute some processes and then determine what run level you're going to run at. Now, System 5-based distributions like Debian and Red Hat will use an init.d directory, which contains a whole list of processes or little files that'll either execute or stop or restart the process. Now, these files in there are actually then linked to a run level directory labeled RC1 through 5. And inside those files, you'll find a list of links that'll either be start with an S or a K, S for start or K. And before the actual process name, it'll be a number which determines what order they launch in, numerical order. So it'll either start or stop a process which is linked back to that init.d directory for the specified run level. Now, on a BSD-style distribution of Linux like Slackware, instead of a number of run-level directories that symlink back to the init.d directory, you will find one rc.d directory, which contains a number of scripts that'll execute your processes at boot time based upon your specified run level. Off of root, you'll also find the dev, or your device files directory. Now, chances are, in most modern distributions, this is not a static directory, but created at runtime, or boot time, actually. If you're using a dev file system, or which has been deprecated for the UDEV file system, these files will be created during boot based upon the hardware that you have on your system. You'll find your disk drives, your CD-ROM drive, sound card, network card, all your devices will be located in this directory. If you run something like Hotplug or Dbus, these devices can actually be created on the fly while the system is up and running, not at boot time. Since the Unix treats everything like a file, even hardware, you'll find, like I said, all your hardware located in a dev directory. Another dynamic directory is your proc directory, which contains your kernel and processes information. You can see all your processes that are running inside the proc directory. You can get information on your hardware in there, what hardware's been detected. Applications like PS or TOP actually pull their information from the proc directory. Let's move on now to the VAR directory, or variable data files directory. This is where you're going to get where your log files are stored, spool directories for your printer. If you're running an email server, chances are you'll find your email in here until it's called by the user's application. A lot of distributions like to make this the default location for the Apache web server's document root. You might find that under var www or var lib www. Cron jobs are all placed in the variable directory. Let's talk about the temp directory for a second, too. Off of root, you'll find a temp directory. This is files that are usually created by applications when they are run. For instance, an IRC server may create files in the temp directory to hold the sessions. Temp directory can be deleted on a periodic occasion. It's usually always deleted when the system is rebooted. Now, there's another temp directory that's located under the var directory. This is a little less volatile, and chances are it will not be deleted at boot time. It gets cleaned out at less regular intervals than the temp directory does. Now, there may be a third temp directory located under USR, but chances are this directory is actually the var temp directory linked to the USR temp directory. You do not link the USR temp directory to var temp. That's a big no. So just be aware of those three temp directories. And if someone is going to crack into your system or exploit your system, chances are they're going to launch an executable that may be hidden in one of these temp directories. I believe you'll find it under var temp more likely than you'll find it under just the standard temp directory. Keep an eye on those directories in case somebody is trying to execute a malicious application. You may find it hidden inside one of the temp directories. So let's move on now to the sbin and bin directories. These are going to hold your binaries. Bin is system critical binaries that may be used by, you know, standard users. It possibly bin might be in their path. Ls would be an example of a command that could be in the bin directory. But sbin is typically for system administration binaries. That's something all users wouldn't be using. Ifconfig is a executable that you'd find in sbin. And finally, lib directory is where you're going to find your system-specific or essential libraries, system libraries. Now, let's move on to the USR directory. This is going to be your shareable, not necessarily host-specific applications directory. Most people are going to execute binaries out of the USR directory or subdirectories. Again, most user commands are going to be found in the USR bin directory. Most of your applications are going to install their binaries in USR bin. The exception might be certain X-based applications and the X window system, which is typically under USR X11R6. Most distributions I have seen usually use this directory for X and X-based applications. But, you know, again, that's not specific to all distributions, and depending on the package maintainer or how the software was installed, it might be in one of those two locations. The USR sbin directory is for non-vital administration commands, stuff that generally normal users wouldn't execute, but again, it's not system-critical binaries. Another specific directory off of USR might be a source directory, USR SRC. In there, you should typically find your kernel source code. That's where that gets installed, RPM sources, Debian package sources, or any kind of system source or source package that you download may be installed in there. The third main file system we're going to talk about is USR local. Now, the USR local is host-specific local software. This is an important directory, and if you are installing software on your system, best practice would dictate that you install the software into USR local. That way, it's not going to get overwritten if you upgrade any packages on your system or install it. It's software that's specific to your system. So if you compile a package, standards would have you install the software into USR local. Now, there is an exception to this, okay? And this is another directory that you'll find off the root directory, which is your op directory. This is for add-on, basically static applications. I have occasionally used the op directory for like a sandbox or a testing ground. For instance, if I wanted to test out like the latest CVS version of Scribus or Inkscape or something like that, I may download it, compile it, and with the key to install it into op/whatever the package name, for instance, Scribus. And what that does is it actually creates the entire static application inside the op directory specified by the prefix. For instance, it would be op Inkscape would have the entire Inkscape executable and libraries and whatever else that would be installed inside that package directory. It's almost like if you're running OS X in the application directory, the OS X applications are all self-contained. Well, you can create self-contained applications under Linux in the op directory. For instance, another example was if I wanted to test out the latest Firefox beta version or the newest release, I can install it in the opt Firefox and execute it straight out of there and play around with it without having it installed on my path or in my USR local, because it's not really, I'm not really considering this is going to be my prime time application here. I want it in my path. So those are some ideas right there. That's what the file system hierarchy is. Let me just give some tips on partitioning a Linux-based system. First and foremost, my biggest tip in partitioning a Linux or even any Unix-based system is always separate home from the root partition. Okay, home is where all your user files are going to be kept for the users on your system. Always keep those separated. Good practice in doing that is, one, you can easily back up the home directories. If something were to happen to the root partition, all right, you're not going to lose everybody's home files in a home directory. I've always found it extremely useful to keep that separated. If you're going to switch, you know, to a different distribution and overwrite your current system, you can preserve your home directories if they're on a separate partition. It just makes life a whole lot easier. Now, keep in mind that the subdirectories of home are probably going to be the fastest growing directories on your system, particularly in a multi-user environment. Now, if you have home on the same partition as root, and your users fill up their home partition and take up all the free space on that same partition, you are essentially going to render your server almost unusable. You will have to free up some disk space on your root partition and maybe even have to reboot your server, jeopardizing uptime. And we know how critical uptime is to Linux and Unix users. If you're going to run a server-based system, I also recommend that you create a separate partition for your var directory. Because var contains your logs, your spool directories, chances are email is going to be in there. The var directory can fill up really fast or grow to a lot larger. And if you can keep your root partition a little bit smaller and compact, because that's not going to change very much, but the var directory will. It'll make it easier in the long run to be able to maintain or keep an eye on, you know, if your var directory grows too large and exceeds your partition size, that you're not going to jeopardize services running because your root partition, because var's off of root, exceeding the file size, getting 100%, and things get wonky on your server. Because opt is a separate directory, you know, an optional add-ons directory, sometimes I'll separate that into its own partition, or I may separate the USR directory into its own partition. Comparably, the root partition, if you'd separate root and var and USR, the root partition is not going to require as much, nor will it take up as much space in the long run as your USR partition will, because most of your applications are installed in the USR partition or one of those directories underneath there. That's, if you keep that USR partition separate and allocate a lot of space for that USR partition, that's probably a good idea. So essentially, those are my file system, you know, partitioning tips right there. I want to talk about two more subdirectories off of root. And this has kind of been mixed up in different distributions. There's a MNT or mount directory and a media directory. Now, not all distributions seem to subscribe to the differences between the MNT and media partitions, but this is what the file system standards dictate. The MNT partition is for temporary mounted file systems. For instance, if you had another partition that was a separate Linux distribution or a separate home partition in another distribution, or an NFS mounted file system, you would go under the mount, because it's a temporary, not system critical, mountable file system. The media directory, on the other hand, is used for removable storage. This is your CD-ROM drives, your floppy drives, your USB mass storage devices. They get installed or mounted in the media directory. So those are the two different. That's the difference between those two. Again, I've not seen all distributions subscribe to that. I believe Slackware, maybe it's changed in the most recent version, but used to be the MNT directory was where everything got mounted off of under MNT CD-ROM, MNT floppy. They were put the removable file systems in there. So that's my twat for today. I hope you enjoyed it, and you have a good day.
You were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.